At issue was a provision in the Senate version of the 2013 National Defense Authorization Act, finally passed just last week. It's not yet law, but if the House and the President agreed, it would order DoD to reduce its civilian workforce by 5% over the next 5 years. The language originated earlier this year in the Senate Armed Services Committee, with Senator John McCain, the committee's ranking member, arguing along these lines in a May press conference.
We are scheduled to reduce the United States Army by some 100,000 men and women. We are reducing the size of the Marine Corps by some 80,000. There is no provision for any reduction in the civilian workforce, which has been grown some 16% since 2007.
Robert Work is the Undersecretary of the Navy and the service's chief management officer. He didn't explicitly criticize any specific legislative proposals, but in a panel discussion hosted by government executive last week, he made it clear he's a bit frustrated with the prospect of congressionally directed reductions to the civilian workforce.
Nothing really gets me more fired up than this question or this thought that government civilians are overpaid and underwork. It is total crap. For the last 4 years, you know, I've seen what the civilian workforce does. And I guarantee you, the number of hours they spend trying to get our budgets set, trying to hit auditability targets, trying to fix our ships and aircraft, there is no better workforce in the world, period.
Furthermore, Work says the bulk of the buildup in the civilian workforce has come at the direction of Congress itself.
Our civilian workforce has grown specifically due to directed growth. Grow your cyber force. Grow your acquisition workforce. Change military to civilians in your medical. Get better contracting efficiencies. They are absolutely vital. So it is important that you do not take blunt instruments. We believe that we are about right-sized for the civilians. Over 50% of every civilian in the Department of the Navy, it comes out of a working capital fund. In other words, they adjust to the workload. They're fixing ships. They're redoing aircraft. They're building tanks. They're adjusting to the workload. So if someone tells me the workload's going down, I'll say, okay, we might be able to take a civilian cut. But I don't see that happening.
Dr. Jamie Morin, the acting Undersecretary of the Air Force, also wants to dispel the image of DoD civilians as overpaid beltway bureaucrats.
You know, folks that are operating in the Washington environment think of government civilians as being people that show up to work in the Pentagon and, like me, push paper around. For the Air Force, you know, the majority of our civilians are not in Washington, and many, many, many of them are absolutely making operational and readiness contributions, whether it's turning wrenches on flight lines or whether it is working in a depot doing long-term maintenance on aircraft, or whether it is running flight simulators for pilot training. I mean, we have civilians deeply integrated into our operations.
Morin says in the Air Force, choices were made deliberately over the past several years about transitioning certain work away from uniformed military members and into the civilian workforce. For one thing, he says, civilians provide continuity in highly technical jobs that frequently rotating military members can't. And for many jobs, they also tend to be more cost-effective, he says.
We need to have the right part of the workforce do the right job to meet the operational needs and to do it at best value. And so I don't think formulaic management is the right answer. I think we have to continue to look at that whole human capital force and apply the right people to the right problem at the right time. And continuing to develop our folks is critical. We're relying more and more on them.
And that reliance, Morin says, is coming at a time when a huge chunk of the government's civilian base of knowledge and expertise is getting ready to depart civil service.
You know, we have a tremendous civilian science and technology workforce in the Air Force, but the average age is over 50. Those folks are looking towards retirement now. We need to build a new generation. We've got to manage through that, and that means you can't subscribe to sort of blanket moves that are going to impair your ability to prepare for that future. You know, the folks that are nearing retirement, they may change their plans by a year or two or shift depending on the economy, but at some point they're going to leave. And if we've lost that time to have overlap and transfer of knowledge and highly technical skills from the previous generation to the next, We will regret that for a long time to come.
The Navy's work says federal civilians and agency managers also need some relief from an ongoing political debate between the merits of civilian employees versus contractors. The result, he says, has been a seesaw over which approach the government should favor.
U.S. Navy, Department of the Navy, since 2001, you all know this, we went through a great, great wave of outsourcing. Oh, let's get rid of government civilians because we'll save 60 cents on the dollar. Okay. 5 years later, hey, we need to insource because we'll save 60 cents for every contractor. That's kind of new math to me.
Work says the bottom line is that civil servants in DOD are tired. He blames that directly on political dysfunction. Congress's lack of ability to reach consensus to direct the ship of state has put the department in a seemingly constant cycle of planning for change, sometimes abrupt change. Threatened government shutdowns, demands for more efficiencies, a $487 billion budget cut, and now possibly sequestration.
I believe they feel like they're under siege. They've had 2 years of pay freezes. The bonus situation has changed constantly. They hear in the press that we ought to be cutting the force because, you know, we have too many civilians. I think it's time that we really, in this administration, really focus in on the civilian workforce as part of the total force and make sure we have that right.
Work says that's one reason DOD has resisted making plans for sequestration until the last possible minute. The Air Force's Morin says making plans for worst-case scenarios also tends to influence reality.
If a program office is directed to build a plan for a lower resource level, there is a very real likelihood, even if it's only a contingency plan, that it drives a slowdown in their actual activity on the program. It drives a level of caution. And we already know that due to the impact of multi-month continuing resolutions, that we are way too slow in moving forward and executing on our acquisition programs. You know, we by and large don't do contract awards in the first quarter anymore. That drives inefficiency. And that's inefficiency that comes out of the pocket of the American taxpayer or comes out of the warfighting resources available to the combatant commanders. It is one of the more frustrating things about working in government in a time where this sort of thing has become the norm.
In Washington, Jared Serbu, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.